David Jeremiah's program, Turning Points, as we continue searching for heaven on earth in the cul-de-sac of life.
Welcome to Turning Point. If you're in the working world, does your job merely enable you to survive, or does it bring you deeper satisfaction? As Dr. David Jeremiah explains, the answer depends on the role you allow God to play in your working life. Continuing his series from Ecclesiastes, Searching for Heaven on Earth, here's David to introduce the conclusion of his message, The Cul-de-Sacs of Life.
And we thank you for joining us today for the Thursday edition of Turning Point, halfway through the month of February, exactly. And we're glad you're with us as we study the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. This is from Solomon, the Old Testament wisdom writer, and it is a very intriguing book. It was written by Solomon as he searched life out with God on the outside of his search. It's filled with all of the cul-de-sacs he went down, only to discover there was no meaning at the end of the road. He writes about it very carefully, and we learn from his journal how we can avoid some of those dead-end streets. Well, right now, we need to get back to the sixth chapter of Ecclesiastes. We're talking here about the cul-de-sacs of life. And let's open our Bibles together now.
He uses two illustrations in verses 3 through 6 of the 6th chapter to bring home to us in a very forceful way the danger of looking to our money for meaning. Notice what he says. If a man begets 100 children, my, what a thought that is. If a man begets 100 children and lives many years so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. For it comes in vanity and departs in darkness, and its name is covered with darkness, though it has not seen the sun or known anything. This has more rest than that man. Even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness, do not all go to one place? Now let's unpack these verses for just a moment and see what God is saying to us through Solomon's illustrations. In order to make his point about the emptiness of wealth without God, Solomon uses two illustrations that are as far apart as they could possibly be. On the one hand, he supposes that there could be a man who lives 2,000 years and has 100 children. On the other hand, he supposes a child who dies at birth. One person experiences life extended to 2 millennia, and the other experiences only a few minutes, if even that. In his first illustration, Solomon is obviously exaggerating. We call this in literature hyperbole. He takes it to the ultimate exaggerated extreme so that he can make the point. And he is saying, suppose a man could live twice 1,000 years. Suppose he could live 2,000 years. Why, obviously, no one has ever lived that long. Methuselah was the oldest man who ever lived on the face of the earth, and he lived to be 969. Solomon is taking the man who lived the longest and saying, suppose a person could live twice that long on the earth. And then, if he's not exaggerating in the length of the man's life, he surely is exaggerating in the number of his children. He said, suppose a man lives to be 2,000 years old, and in the process he fathers 100 children. Did you know that Solomon's own son, Rehoboam, came very close to doing that? Just a little Old Testament biblical trivia. 2 Chronicles 11:21. Now Rehoboam loved Maacah, the granddaughter of Absalom, more than all his wives and his concubines. For he took 18 wives and 60 concubines and begot 28 sons and 60 daughters. Whoa! In case you didn't add that up, that's 88 children. But I want to remind you, it took 18 wives and 66 concubines to pull it off. What Solomon is saying here, and I want you to get this out of the context of the Old Testament, the two things that symbolized God's blessing upon a Jewish family were longevity and children. A Jewish family was considered blessed by God if the patriarchs in the family lived long and if they had lots and lots of children. So Solomon is saying that having wealth and having a large family, both of these things will leave you empty if God is not in it. They will not bring meaning to your life if God is on the outside. In fact, when he talks about this fictitious man here in the book of Ecclesiastes, he talks about this man as having had no burial. He says in verse 3, if a man begets 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial. That's a very interesting thing, because for a Jewish person not to have a burial was the sign of total disrespect and dishonor. There is in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah and the 22nd chapter the story of a king by the name of Jehoiakim who was not buried and was not honored and didn't have a funeral. And it's an illustration of the most awful thing that could happen. What Solomon is saying is this. This man has all the money he wants. He lives to be 2,000 years old. He's got 100 children. But his children don't want anything to do with him. When he dies, they don't even come to his funeral. He doesn't have any relationships with them. His family is in disrepair. And what he had hoped to get by getting all of this wealth has been so empty because it doesn't deliver what he had hoped it would deliver. Now King Solomon goes to the other end of the cycle, and he uses a stillborn baby as his illustration. According to Solomon, such a child never sees the light of day, never experiences the disappointments that the rich man has known. The stillborn baby knows only the shadow of a moment of life. The man in Solomon's story lived 2 times 1,000 years, but both that man and the stillborn child ended up in the grave. Remember, this is what we learned in chapter 3. In the 3rd chapter, in the 20th verse, we read, all go to one place, all are from the dust, all return to the dust. Solomon's talking about the grave. He's saying a man lived 2,000 years, he ended up in the same place as the stillborn baby who hardly lived a moment on planet Earth. Here's the point he's trying to make, and don't miss it. I read this over and over again. I told Donna this is maybe the hardest passage in Ecclesiastes, but when you really see it, oh, is it powerful. Listen to him. The point that Solomon is making in this first paragraph is he is telling us that the futility of life without God and without meaning is worse than never having been born at all. Wow. So whatever you do, don't think if you just have more, you're going to find meaning in life. Solomon says such an existence can be worse than never having lived at all. First cul-de-sac. Don't get on that one. Don't misunderstand what he's saying. He's not saying it's wrong to be wealthy. He's not saying it's wrong to have riches. He's not saying it's wrong to be prosperous. He's saying it is meaningless to have all of it if God isn't in the picture. Because only God can give you the wisdom to know what to do with what you have. I want to tell you something I've learned in talking to people who have a whole lot more money than I'll ever dream of having. Money for many people is a burden. It is a real burden. To know what to do with what has been trusted to their care. Now the second cul-de-sac Solomon wants us to see is number 2. You won't find joy in your job. And you say, Pastor, boy, I give a second to that one. I don't have any joy in my job. Well, he's not saying here that you can't find meaning in your work, but he's saying you can't find ultimate joy in your career. What a modern, contemporary instruction this is for all of us. Notice verse 7.